You're listening to the Sustainable Packaging Show, the best place to learn what packaging is actually sustainable. Have you ever wondered whether or not compostable packaging is actually more sustainable than plastic? On today's show, Mike interviews the CEO of TIPA Compostable Packaging to answer that question and much more. If you learned something in today's episode, be sure to leave us a review and share with friends. Enjoy the show.
We are starting a new series on our podcast titled, What is Actually Sustainable? To me, this is the number one question we need to get right. I once heard a quote that I think applies here. Running enthusiastically in the wrong direction is never a good decision. And this is not a small question, this question, what packaging is actually sustainable? We really need to be able to answer it. So the challenge you're going to face when you're trying to answer it is you're going to get a wide variety of perspectives from different packaging companies or different materials, and none of them are crazy. None of them are completely crazy. Usually there's some merit if you really listen to what's being said. So I thought it would be valuable to share a few different perspectives from people I respect on this podcast. I'm going to ask experts in their respective fields some challenging questions to help you better understand and decide for yourself what is actually sustainable. So in today's show, the topic is compostable films. This is a true deep dive, not the basics. What is composting? What is home compostable versus industrial compostable? You're going to get answers to some challenging questions you may be thinking of yourself or that you're likely to think of when you're considering whether or not compostable films are right for you. Before we get into the show, a quick message from our sponsor, Packaged Sustainably. Are you a brand that already uses sustainable packaging? If so, get listed on Packaged Sustainably, a new online platform where consumers, investors, and retailers can discover that you exist. The demand for products in sustainable packaging is rising as millions of consumers worldwide demand that change happens now. If you already have sustainable packaging, this is your moment. Go to packagedsustainably.com today to get listed. That's packaged with an ED, sustainably.com. No greenwashing is allowed, and all packaging is vetted by a sustainable packaging expert before it goes live on the site. Head over to packagedsustainably.com and get listed today. All right. So a lot of you who listen to the show know the basics of what compostable packaging is. You probably know the difference between home and industrial composting, but that's usually not enough if you're someone who wants to move to compostable packaging. There's a bunch of other questions that you're going to have in your mind that your team's going to be asking you that you need to know in order to make the move. So I found someone that I highly respect. I would call one of the top experts, if not the best person to talk to on this topic. Her name is Daphna Nissenbaum. She's the CEO of TIPA Packaging. For those of you who don't know, TIPA produces compostable films that have similar functionalities to that of plastic. They're a world-class, highly respected by all my peers. Daphna, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you, Michael. Pleasure being here today.
All right. So looking forward to introducing you to our audience, as well as doing a deep dive into compostables for those of you who really care, who aren't just checking the box, who don't just want to get by, who actually want to make an impact. I think you're going to love this episode and the questions that I put together to really get to the core and increase everyone's learning and understanding. So let's start, Daphna, with the story behind TIPA. Tell me TIPA's founding. I always like to hear those stories. And then you can talk a little bit about what TIPA does as well.
Okay. So, you know, actually it all started more than 10 years ago when I had a discussion with my children around the plastic bottles they used to take to school back then. And knowing about the plastic problem and how fast it grows and the challenges that we have with the packaging industry in general, but specifically with plastic, I went out jogging and I thought to myself that there must be a different solution, something else that we can do in regards to packaging, in regards to using plastic packaging. And the first thing that came to my mind was actually an apple, because when I eat an apple and I throw the residuals to the waste bin, it just disintegrates and biodegrades by itself. And I thought to myself, okay, this is the most intuitive way to use packaging. So let's simulate nature. Nature packed the oranges, the bananas, the apples, et cetera, et cetera. Why wouldn't we do the same? And I was a bit naive then. I thought it's going to be very easy. It's not. Mm-hmm. But I can say today that we have a solution that actually emulates nature. So we can use compostable packaging, same as nature does, to pack food, and then discard the package into the organic waste stream and just behave post-consumption as any other organic material. And that's the innovation here. That's the idea. The idea is to use natural, the most natural way to pack food. But at the same time, we need it to be, you know, as good as plastic, because there's a full industry that is already used to use plastic. So we had to invent such materials that will provide both. We'll provide a compostable end-of-life solution to the package. So the package will turn into a new resource, which is compost, which is a fertilizer. But at the same time, be as good as conventional plastic. And that was the target. And that's what we did.
Beautiful.
So that's the idea, the mission, and the vision and the innovation behind TIPA.
Awesome. I didn't know. So cool that your children were the inspiration to what you've built. What better inspiration? Yeah. And then looking to nature. I'm sure your children are very proud of what mom's built. So that's pretty awesome. Talk to me about within compostable, there are different packaging forms that are compostable. So I know TIPA does films. Would you consider yourself, are you a bioresin company? Are you a bioplastic? What category within compostable do you put TIPA?
You know, Michael, there's a lot of confusion in the going more sustainable or going sustainable field.
Yes.
What is bioresin? I don't know. Maybe it's a resin that was manufactured from a bio-based or includes a certain amount of bio-based materials in it. Yes. So maybe this is biomaterial. What is bio package? I don't exactly know. We do. I mean, I know, but it's not a definite declaration.
Yes.
We do compostable packaging. So there's no confusion here. Compostable means, and there's a very specific and strict declaration and regulation that we have to meet in order to be able to claim for compostability, which means that the materials that we use disintegrate, I mean, break down to very small parts. And then those very, very small parts will be eaten by bacteria or can be eaten by bacteria. Mm-hmm. And all this matter turns into compost, water, and biomass. And all that has to happen within up to 6 months. And that's the secret here. I cannot claim compostability for 10 years. It's not compostable. Mm-hmm. I cannot say it's partially compostable, partially not, so it's not compostable. Compostable means that the whole package turns into compost within a very specific, relatively short period of time. So if conventional plastic, you know, we don't exactly know, but might survive hundreds of years or even more than that, we're talking about 6 months material that has to turn shape totally into a new material, which actually integrates into nature. And all that has to happen within up to 6 months. Up to 6 months can be less, but not mm-hmm. more. For me to say that for us, TIPA, or for everyone in the industry, to say this material is compostable, we have to meet those demands. Otherwise, we cannot claim that. So biomaterial, bio this, bio that, includes a certain maybe content of a renewable resource, which is the bio thing, right?
So right.
It can be sugar canes, can be starch, can be other things. My question is, what happens to this material after we use it? Mm-hmm. Is it still like conventional plastic that stays here forever? So the origin might be non-fuel, I mean, maybe biomaterial, but then the end of life of the package is the same. It's the same. It's going to last forever.
Right.
And it needs recycling or whatever to treat all that huge amount of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
We at TIPA, this is a very important point for us. We mm-hmm. focus on the end of life. The main challenge of the packaging industry is what happens to all the packages that we use post-consumption. Look what happens in the ocean, in the open yards, et cetera, et cetera. All this littering, that's caused because there's no end of life to those packages. Mm-hmm. And we at TIPA, we focus at the end of life. So we use the package, I ate a granola bar. What's going to happen to the package after I ate the granola bar? Is it going to be someplace around me now for 20, 30, 40, 50, 300, 400 years? Or is it going to turn into compost in 6 months? That's the difference. So we focus at the end of life. This is the very core point of the idea. To be able to get rid, get rid of the packages that we so desperately need to pack food after we ate the food or any other product. So if it's bio-based, that's fine. It's the origin of the material. We're talking about the end of life. We focus mm-hmm. on the end of life. And only compostability secures, only compostability certification secures the end of life. Says, okay, this material can go into the organic waste stream and turn into compost within the limited time.
I think that's a huge, hugely important point to look at the end of life, because I've been critical over time. I try not to be critical of anything unless I think it's greenwashing. And you look at these quote unquote bioresins that mix virgin plastic with a little bit of plant material. And I say, maybe that's even worse, because at least you had the chance of a virgin plastic bottle. Let's say at least it could be recycled. We know the recycling rates are low, but now you take this weird thing that can't be composted and it can't be recycled. So it's literally just going to the landfill and to waste. So I think that's a very good point. The benefit of compostable packaging is that there's a clear definition and we know what we're buying. It's not just this, oh, it's biodegradable. Oh, it's bio-based. So I definitely share the sentiment. And we're looking for, when we're talking about TIPA in this conversation, plastic replacement, plastic alternatives. We're not talking about molded pulp or paper products for the audience listening.
Right. It feels and looks like conventional plastic, more or less.
Yes.
Functions. That's one of our targets, to be able to function as the industry used to use today.
Beautiful.
If we need a package to provide 6 months shelf life, that's what we need. That's a target. There was a target for us to meet. So, yes. Look, I don't think that anyone can change the packaging industry today. It's such a huge industry, and it's a very important one, and the whole world actually relies on packaging. We need packaging to ship food from here to there, to consume food for shelf life, et cetera, et cetera. So definitely we need packaging. There's no question around that. I don't think we can get rid of packaging. Definitely not from the massive part of packaging.
Yes.
So we need packaging, but we need to use the right materials, basic materials. And if the basic material is such a material that will not survive forever, that can actually break down, that's the solution. It's part of the solution for the health industry. But for flexible packaging, that's what we focused on, all those soft packages made from films. So for flexible packaging, like in nature, we can use compostable solutions, and they bring a very good solution to replace the good part of plastic, so protect the good, provide throughout the supply chain, all the needs of delivering food, packing food, keeping inventory, et cetera, et cetera. But it's made from materials that actually can solve the end of life target.
Which is really the big problem when you think about, why is everyone concerned about packaging? What is the big problem? It really is at the end of life. Sure, there's other ways to optimize, water consumption and greenhouse gas emissions. There are other problems, right. But the big problem that packaging is contributing to is at the end of life, is the waste, is the pollution, is the wildlife being harmed. So that's why I think, especially with flexible packages that traditionally, I mean, the recycle rates are virtually zero. I think it's very negligible. This is definitely a viable path to go. So within flexible compostable films, TIP is not the only person, although I would call you one of the leaders. So what is an individual who's looking to replace their traditional plastic film? They want to go more compostable, but let's say there's three people that they're considering, that they're looking at, or five, and different people are pitching them different things. What advice would you give them as far as what criteria or what things should they look at when evaluating a compostable film?
It's a very good question. The first thing when you want to go compostable, make sure that the provider, the supplier, or the solution provider has all the certificates that you need as a brand.
Yes.
The different bodies, they're all good. BPI in North America, ABA in Australia, different bodies in Europe. But just make sure that those companies have the right certificates for you, because you don't want to claim compostability and at the end of the day, you don't have the right certificate. So that's the first thing, to make sure that the materials are really, really compostable.
Yes.
And then the second thing is to work with a company that understands packaging. Because the different kind of steps or stations on the way to launch a package, the company needs to understand it. Especially the compostable solution provider, and I'll touch on that in a minute. But the first thing to do is to say, okay, let's say I'm packing, I don't know, let's say rice today or pasta or snacks. Mm-hmm. What do I use today? What is the data sheet of the package? What is the profile of the package that I use today as a brand? And I'm looking for a material to match that as close as can be, because I want to make the same shelf life, the same. I mean, the package needs to integrate to an existing supply chain. So let's make sure that the package can integrate it. And then the end consumer has the same experience. So although they're going to use a different package, they're going to have as a consumer the same experience. Because we cannot change, you know, the whole world. We need to implement to the habits that we have today. So that's the first thing, to make sure that the materials actually meet the demand of the packed product. And then once you have it, just run a trial. Just try. Try it on your supply chain. Try it on your machinery. Try it with your consumers. Maybe run, you know, maybe a small scale and then a larger scale trial, and just see, you know, what do you get from it? I can share our experience, but that's more or less the process that we do. Now, very important part also is, and for there you need the supplier to assist, is what can I, the printing side of the layer, I mean, what can we print? I mean, the amount of colors, et cetera, et cetera. So the graphics and the printing, and what can be claimed? This is also very important, because we don't want to mislead anyone. So, in a very high level, or in a nutshell, I would say work with a provider that understands packaging. So how to switch from existing package to a new one. It's knowledge that needs to be within the provider, needs to provide it. And the second thing that the provider needs to understand, compostability or compostable packaging on claims, etc. So that's more the marketing side, I would say.
Beautiful. I hope everyone's taking notes. That's a nice little checklist beyond the surface of what most people are probably thinking about. So thank you for that. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to discuss whether or not compostable films are actually better than plastic films, because the traditional plastics industry has their own opinion on that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Sustainable Packaging Show.
Are you a brand that already uses sustainable packaging? If so, get listed on Packaged Sustainably, a new online platform where consumers, investors, and retailers can discover that you exist. The demand for products in sustainable packaging is rising as millions of consumers worldwide demand that change happens now. If you already have sustainable packaging, this is your moment. Go to packagesustainably.com today to get listed. That's packaged with an ED, sustainably.com. No greenwashing is allowed, and all packaging is vetted by a sustainable packaging expert before it goes live on the site. Head over to packagesustainably.com and get listed today. Okay, we're back. Welcome back here with Daphna Nissenbaum, CEO of Tipa Packaging. So we're going to talk about in this segment whether or not compostable films are better than that of traditional plastic. You might say, of course. Weren't you listening to Daphna in the first segment? Of course they're better. But maybe different people have different opinions, and I want to give all perspectives on this show and maybe even prepare you for some of the conversations you'll have with your traditional film suppliers as you're moving away. So Daphna, talk to us about why are, just the most basic but important question, why are compostable films superior to plastic films from a sustainability perspective?
So, look, we've been using conventional plastic packaging solutions, including flexibles, I would say in the last 60 years, more or less. Been trying to recycle in the last 40, 30 years, if I want to be gentle. Mm-hmm. And we know the result today. Today, the numbers are so poor globally. So less than 10%, that's the number, not by TIPA, by very prestige institutes that has been doing research on recycling. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been changed in the last 10 years or more. So this is the number, more or less. So 9% of the packages globally are recycled. When we talk about flexibles, even less. Sometimes it's around 4%, 3%, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one thing. Obviously, there's no solution to that, for recycling. Now, when we talk specifically on films, films are the basic components for flexible packaging. When we talk specifically on flexible packaging, there are several reasons why flexible packaging are not and cannot be recycled. So first of all, that's when we talk about food. So usually the package is so contaminated with the food because of the type of the package. So there's no way to recycle it. Maybe downcycle it sometimes, but that's it. That's one thing. The economic doesn't work around it. It just doesn't work. That's why we don't see flexible packaging recycled. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is when we use multi-layers. So recycling can be done mainly on one monomaterial. And when we talk about monolayers, so let's talk about a potato chips bag. So there are two, three, sometimes four layers of materials in one package.
Right.
And that's it. The package cannot be recycled. There's no solution to that. You know, just so that's the reason that we don't see massive recycling with flexible packaging. If we talk about compostables, we do the same. We use several materials in one package, several layers, several materials, but all the layers are compostable. Right. Otherwise, the package cannot be compostable. And that means that the package can go into your home compost facility or industrial compost facility and turn into and decompose, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a perfect end-of-life solution. And that actually solves that. Industry that's been trying for years to find a solution with no success. And here we are. We have a solution that works. It wasn't easy to invent the materials that are suitable for laminates and for high barrier packages like the potato chips bags, like granolas, et cetera, et cetera. But once we did it, we have a solution that actually is fully compostable, even home compostable.
You figured that out for even potato chips and granola bars,
yes.
Which that was always when I was first investigating this about 5 years ago in a deep way. That was always kind of the holy grail. It was, can you get shelf life and end of life? Can you do both? And the answer was
exactly.
No. Oh, that's not really. So we can't do that. And it sounds like you've figured that out.
Yeah. So we launched this year, last the end of last year, and this year, we launched high barrier film. which actually provides barrier very close to conventional plastic, and that solves all that. And we have already products in the market with high barrier. And you're very right. The tension between shelf life compost and compostability, that's the core challenge here.
That's the core challenge.
How can we, yeah. And we actually solved it, yeah.
Beautiful.
But I'm talking now about TIPA, but if we talk as an on the industry.
Yeah, please.
So flexible packaging, it's a huge challenge because it cannot be recycled for several reasons, a few I just mentioned. And here we are, we have a solution that all we need is to adopt, because the
Absolutely.
Solution exists and works.
Absolutely. And I think the numbers, so the 9% statistic is very popular and well documented. You actually said worldwide too. I'd be curious country to country what it would be, but 9%. So it's very low. With flexible films, I would imagine you said 3-4%. If I were to just say, I've never heard that stat, I would say it's so much lower. If you think about the potato chip bag, how many are even monomaterial where they could possibly be recycled? And then of the ones that are monomaterial store drop off, how many actually get dropped off? I would say I would guess a fraction of a percent.
Yes.
In that
yes.
sense.
I agree with you. Probably the numbers are lower, but I'm trying to be conscious.
You're trying to be unbiased. So. Okay, very good. That's good. Good character. Okay, very good. Very good. So how would, let's look at the other side of it. If you're trying to be objective, how would the plastics industry respond to what you just said? And I think they know their end of life, especially on films, is very weak. Sometimes there's a suggestion that their rigid end of life story is the fault of the consumer, and if only the consumer did a better job, which I'm not a huge fan of that thinking. But
yes.
with the flexibles, I think they'd admit the end of life is pretty bad. But what they do talk about is they might make the argument, well, our greenhouse gas emissions are better than that of compostable. I've heard this. How do you respond to that way of thinking? Is there validity? What are your thoughts on that?
Okay. You know, I don't know exactly about their greenhouse emissions,
mm-hmm.
but I do know is that the whole plastic industry, packaging industry, contributes less than 1% of the all gas emissions globally.
Right.
So, even if we do much better, we're not going to contribute a lot to the disaster of the greenhouse emissions.
Right.
But we do contribute a lot to the disaster in the food chain and what happens in the oceans and et cetera, with plastic and specifically with microplastics. Because
right.
microplastics are everywhere, right? So they can claim that, and maybe, I don't know if it's right or wrong. I don't want to say anything that I don't know.
Sure.
But I do know that the main problem of the plastic industry is the end of life.
I think
and we all know that.
That's a very profound point that I think is often overlooked. It's like, can we look at the what is the overall contribution to packaging to each of these environmental problems?
Yes.
And we can solve for less than 1%, or we can solve for perhaps it's over 50% of the waste crisis
yes.
is a result of single-use packaging. So
yeah.
I think that's a good way to look at that. Can we talk about microplastics for a moment? Are we safe to say that there may be fragmenting of a compostable packaging, but that those smaller pieces would not be harmful if consumed by a fish or consumed by if it entered into our waterways? So first,
the compostable ones.
Yeah, if there is a compostable package,
there's no microplastic.
Right,
it's
there's
all
no
consumed by bacteria.
Okay.
No microplastic left behind. Once the package is in, it's going to be fully integrated and disintegrated and then consumed by bacteria, and there's no microplastic left behind.
Okay. And if it lands in, let's say, the ocean, would that be the same way of thinking?
In the ocean, might be different. We haven't tested it. I don't know if anyone did, but anyone had. But I think that, you know, If the package ends life not in a compost system, but let's say in landfill or in the ocean, mm-hmm. it's not ideal at all. It will take longer to disintegrate, to break down, and longer to biodegrade. You know, I cannot say it's going to take 1 year or 2 years or 3 years.
Right, right.
I don't think it will take forever as conventional plastic, mm-hmm. and definitely it's not the best solution. For me, when you know, if I'm going back to the beginning of the call, when I thought about what is the most intuitive way to use packages, so it's the same as organic material. It's the same as cucumbers, same as tomatoes.
Right.
So whatever I do with the tomatoes residuals or with the kitchen waste residuals, I do with a package. So if the residuals go into the organic waste stream and then go to landfill, it's not the best solution. It's not the best solution for organic waste as well. It's not a good solution. It needs to go into a compost system or anaerobic digestion. And right. and the world is going there. So what I want to say in a nutshell is that the world or the governments or municipalities have to take care of kitchen waste, residual of kitchen waste. Mm-hmm. And we just integrate to the same system, to an existing system. And therefore, I think that the claims that compostable packaging will end in landfill or in the ocean, yes, maybe in the beginning, yes, because not all the infrastructure is there and not everything is ready. But that's a revolution, and that's how revolution happens. It doesn't happen in one day, and not in one day everything is going to be, you know, ready to accumulate all the waste and take care of it.
Very
but
true.
It will happen.
Very true. Yeah, we need to be fair with these things. I mean, the plastics industry, what are we're talking 60 years versus to get to its current scale. And I think sometimes people want the same efficiencies or the same infrastructure overnight. It's just not realistic. And to your point, it's very valid. We need to be careful that compostable packaging doesn't mean we can just litter it, obviously. Right. You know, we need to be conscious of it. But I try to think of what the whole end of life discussion. You have ideal end of life. The reason I'm asking about the ocean is that sort of like, what's the plan B end of life? When it doesn't go properly, what happens? I like to weigh that question and think about that. And to my way of thinking, that plastic film ends up in the ocean. That's going to be very bad. That's either going to harm wildlife, that's going to enter our food stream. That's much more harmful than in the plan B, where someone's on a boat and they bought a TIPA packaged product, and then that film goes into the ocean. Not that we want that to happen, but that will happen.
No, I don't want to
think about that. Yeah.
I we don't want it to happen. And that's one of the reasons that we don't say anything about ocean or open or littering in any, by all means. We don't want to see that. We're just saying, look, if you need to take care of waste, and anyway, you know, food is waste that you have all the time surrounding you, and you just put the same packages as you put the food waste, and it all goes to the same system. It's very intuitive, and it's all taken care of. Needs to be taken care of in any condition, and that's the way that the packages can be integrated into the system. I guess you're right. If the past materials and or any other compostable materials and in the ocean or in open yards, it depends on the conditions, and it depends on the heat, it depends on the et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It will probably be better. If it's good, I hope we will stop seeing littering, or at least because the solution is going to be available, people will litter less.
Yes. Yes, I love how methodical and thoughtful you are. You don't say anything that you can't back up. And I think this is the way my brain works. Is I like to think of what's happening now. How long will it take for that consumer to really, if ever, to really dispose of it properly? And we need to say at least half the population probably won't dispose these things properly, and to at least think about what would happen in that plan B. And I would tend to guess that you guys would perform better than the traditional petroleum plastics.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anything else on that topic? We got one more question in this segment.
Yeah. I'm just saying, yes, it takes time. Revolutions take time. Big things in history that worked this way. But we all, as individuals, as brands, as companies, we have to do the best that we can do.
Yes. Completely with you. I'm a big believer of progress, not perfection. There's nothing perfect. You look for the perfect sustainable package, you're going to be sitting on the sidelines forever. So that is definitely for sure. So within the world of industrial compostable, you see different documentaries, and you can't believe everything you see in every documentary, but I think this one's validated that some industrial composters are saying things like, it's hard to differentiate between the compost, between plastic packaging and compostable packaging, even if it's certified. Or things like, certain compostable packages, nothing specific to anyone, specific to TIPA. But we don't, PLA, I've heard the criticism, we don't really want this in our compost piles. Farmers markets, we don't want this. So have you seen that? And can you just reveal a little light on that topic of where these industrial composters don't always want compostable packaging, and maybe how that plays into the decision-making process around which compostable package someone might choose?
Yes. So, I understand the fear. I understand the fear from the composter's side. The confusion between different types of packaging, if it's really compostable, if it's compostable, or it's conventional plastic, et cetera. On the other hand, we see composters that are looking for compostable packaging because it actually puts them in a better position with their compost. It's a good process for them. We are running such studies now with a few composters, many in Europe, in the UK, that actually, in other places, they're actually very glad and looking to get compostable packaging in their into their system. But looking at more micro position or micro point of view, it's part of the revolution.
Yes.
So once there's more compostable packaging in the market, then composters will know how to sort.
Right.
Look, even today they get packages into the compost. They get packaging, and they need to sort the package, the plastic out, right? So even today, they get conventional plastic or other types of waste, and not everything gets into the compost. So anyway, there's a sorting process prior to the composting process. Mm-hmm. So in the same process, there's a way to process, to sort compostable packaging in and not compostable out. There is a way to do it. And we run tests like this as well. So what I'm saying here, it's an industry revolution, and there are many players here. I mean, there are a few players here. So we are in the side of the innovation part. We need to bring the solutions and the innovation. There are governments who need to play a role. Once they see that this is a good solution, you have to play a role with brands, with the consumers, and with the composters. Right. And there's a role from the composters side, right. And it's all sellable. I mean, this closed loop actually works very well. Mm-hmm. We can really easily demonstrate. That's what we're doing now. Demonstrate it in a smaller scale, not national, let's say, but a bit smaller scale, and it's very easily can be adopted in a national into a national phase. But it's part of the revolution. But as we see more and more, look, we started to see more and more compostable packaging in the market, and now there's more composting solutions. For example, there's backyard composters, very high level and good composters, neighborhood composters, industrial composters, et cetera. And just to remind to everyone, In our case, and in other companies' cases as well, all our solutions are also home compostable. So you can actually compost it in your backyard by yourself. You cannot recycle by yourself, but you can definitely compost by yourself.
That's a great, great, honest and open conversation about it. I think what we all have to remember is that this is a revolution. I like when you use that word, and revolutions take time. So I have this mindset, progress, not perfection, but just setting expectations correctly. It's going to take time for infrastructure to come on board. And another thing I commonly hear as well, what if there's not an industrial composting facility nearby? Well, that's going to take time. And I think I've heard you talk about it. I would love for you to end the segment with this, the analogy of the Model T. And when Henry Ford launched the Model T, what infrastructure was in place? And I want you to get credit because you were the one who actually put that thought in my mind. Can you talk about that a little bit just to sort of lay the groundwork that we're in a revolution? And just because the whole thing isn't there from day one doesn't mean the revolution is flawed or isn't going to happen.
Right. You know, so I've been asked a lot about the infrastructure, and it's a good question. So so what I'm saying here is, look, when Henry Ford invented the first car, there weren't any roads or traffic lights or gas stations, right? It was kind of a weird thing, but it was the right thing. And eventually it happened, and it happened big time, because I think that the good solutions eventually win. I hope so. But same happened here. Today we have roads, we have gas stations, we have traffic lights, we have everything, and definitely many cars. So it takes time. Once the volume increase, then all the infrastructure building actually expedites. So I think that working and or aiming to use the right materials and the right solutions and doing good to materials that can do good to the environment, that's a very important step in understanding the way to change the world. So once we understand that that's what we need to do, and we'll try to do that and use the right materials. And eventually the infrastructure will follow and all the rest will follow. Now, it's not going to be perfect, as you've said. Mm-hmm. It's going to be much better than what we have today.
Absolutely. Much better. So imperfect where we're at right now. So it's like, oh, we have this very imperfect system, but let me poke this little hole in this here. And you just got to know that nothing is perfect. And we need to choose the best option. And as you're talking, I'm thinking the old saying, what came first, the chicken or the egg? So you say, okay, because there's not perfect infrastructure, you know what? Forget about compostable packaging. Let's do nothing. Well, if we take that mindset, then we'll never get to the future that we're talking about.
Right.
So we just have to be realistic with how much time this is going to take. So this is the end of this segment. Thank you for your honest and transparent and thoughtful answers there. So we have some clear reasons why TIPA looks to be a better option than a traditional plastic film based on what we've talked about. We're going to take a short break and talk about hurdles to switch to a film like TIPA. So what about the cost? What about the shelf life? What about the implementation? We're going to talk about those questions that a lot of you guys have. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Sustainable Packaging Show.
Are you a brand that already uses sustainable packaging? If so, get listed on Packaged Sustainably, a new online platform where consumers, investors, and retailers can discover that you exist. The demand for products in sustainable packaging is rising as millions of consumers worldwide demand that change happens now. If you already have sustainable packaging, this is your moment. Go to PackagedSustainably.com today to get listed. That's packaged with an ED, sustainably.com. No greenwashing is allowed, and all packaging is vetted by a sustainable packaging expert before it goes live on the site. Head over to PackagedSustainably.com and get listed today.
All right, welcome back to the Sustainable Packaging Show. So hurdles to switch to a film like TIPA. You know you want to move to compostable packaging. You thought you wanted to. Now after this interview, you got some questions answered. You feel like you understand things better. You know the younger generation's asking for it. You don't want to sleep on this. What are you going to do when you switch? What are the inevitable hurdles you're going to face? So the first one I want to talk about is that sustainable films, compostable films do cost more. And like we talked in the last segment, we need to expect that. So when people say, oh, it costs more, of course, plastics have a 60-year head start on this. But we do need to expect that, and it is the reality. So is there a certain retail price point maybe where a compostable film makes sense versus where, look, if you're selling something for 25 cents, this isn't going to work. Is there a certain retail price point, or how does someone think about whether or not they can afford it and justify spending more on a compostable package?
Well, it's a very good question. It costs more. Different materials, not in the scale of conventional plastic. So there's no way to compare it to conventional plastic.
Yes.
But it brings other values. So first of all, it depends on the brand. If the brand wants to bring those values to his customers, then it's their choice. It costs money. It's not eye in the sky. I mean, every brand can afford that and mm-hmm. can ship part of the extra cost on the customer. And it's talking about cents. But that's a value. That's a value if it suits the brand, if it suits the reputation of the brand, if the brand wants to win those points of being leader, being sustainable, being going compostable, et cetera, et cetera. So first of all, it's a choice. It's a choice by the brand, talking about pricing. Eventually a package is part of the whole product. And yes. usually the package costs a very small, minor portion of the whole product. And the smaller as this portion is, then the price difference is less dramatic or less influencing the total cost. So mm-hmm. for example, if we talk about, I don't know, let's say water. So the package is an extensive part of the cost, the bottom, right. It's an extensive part of the cost of the product. But if you're talking about coffee, for example, then the product is relatively more expensive or a premium product, and then the part of the package, total cost is not as significant or not as crucial to the total cost. So, right. but even then, you know, if a package costs, the price difference can be between 50% more to 2 times more, 2.5 times more. So if a package costs 2 cents and then the new package will cost 5 cents, that's the difference that we're talking. Let's say if you talk about snacks or granola bars or something like that. And that's more or less where we are in terms of extra costs. So, you know, I always say it's more expensive, it's doable. It's a decision done by the brand and by the consumers that work with this brand or purchase the goods of that brand. I believe that eventually it pays back.
Absolutely.
Because if you do the right thing, then you'll have more consumers that will buy your product.
Yes.
So you increase your volume by being a good brand.
Yeah, you're riding this wave. You're riding the wave and where the world is going versus fighting against that wave. And what's the reason to fight against that wave? Let's even take away the side of like just the business case I like to think about. We're not talking about doubling your overall cost of goods sold of your product. It's not adding $20 to the cost of your cream. We're talking,
no.
I mean, in the case of the coffee, you're talking a few pennies.
Yes.
So I think it's really a mindset thing. And I like the fact you said it very well. The brand has a choice and the brand needs to make that choice.
The brand has a choice. It's always doable. It just depends, you know, if it's the brand knows if then consumer will pay extra or not, if they can bear the extra cost, which is it's not $10 per piece, as I said. So it's a very minor it's minor addition, although I understand that not all the brands are willing to take this step and go in that direction right now. I believe that in the future they will all have to do it.
I'm a firm believer of that as well. A lot of it's timing. A lot of it's how do we prepare the best sustainable options and put yourself out there? But there's only so much that you can do before it's the individual comes to their own conclusion. Now's the time. And then they find you or they find me or they find whoever.
Yes.
Okay, beautiful. So applications in the marketplace. We've talked a lot about food. We covered one of my questions, which have you figured out what I call the holy grail, the shelf life, end of life, which you clearly have. Talk to me about applications that some TIPA customers, how customers are using TIPA films.
So, the majority of the times we provide a solution. So the customer comes to us and say, okay, I want to go compostable with my granola bar. I want to go compostable with my fresh produce, et cetera, et cetera. So we do a process that is similar to what I explained earlier in this discussion. Is we ask the customer what do they use today, and we emulate that with our materials. So we have a set of materials, portfolio of materials that can match the conventional plastic materials, and we just kind of tailor the right solution for the product, for the client, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So the process is more of a design trial. Graphic designs, marketing claims, successful trial, first launch, more or less. We work with the client hand by hand throughout all this process to make sure that every step is successful, and eventually we launch together with the marketing, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that for me, from day one, it was very important not just to bring the right material to the market, but full solution, because it's not easy. It's not easy to go from one material to the other. And definitely we need to provide all the surrounding knowledge and surrounding data that is needed in order to do this step. And therefore, we provide a solution and not just the material with the certificates, with the experts on machines. By the way, I have to mention that, I haven't mentioned it, but we run on exactly the same machinery as conventional plastic throughout all the supply chain, from the film manufacturing to packing the goods. So
that's a huge point. I was going to talk about that later, but let's talk about that for a moment. Hurdles in manufacturing, because a lot of people say, great, you get this new sustainable option, sounds wonderful, this is so great, but I'm not going to be able to implement this. This is going to take so much effort to switch to your sustainable option. So you're saying the TIPA films, minimal to no adjusting in the manufacturing lines?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That's a big achievement and a big consideration.
It was very important for us. Same yields, sometimes the temperature needs. We need to lower the temperatures because the materials are different materials, but that's it.
Of course. Of course, there's going to be a little trial and error, but we're talking a couple weeks as opposed to a couple, millions of dollars to switch over to a sustainable option.
Yeah, no one would have done that.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah, so that'll help things. That'll help the adoption a little bit, right? Talk to me about the art, because you mentioned helping with artwork. Are there certain, as a graphic designer, branding, marketing person, are there certain restrictions where I can only print X amount in order to maintain the compostability certification? Or are we using some sort of vegetable-based inks where that's not a factor? Talk to me about any branding limitations in order to maintain the compostable certification.
Yeah, so yes, we use compostable inks, but even then, there are restrictions which we know in depth, and we actually implement with a brand those restrictions. It's not huge. It's not unable to print a very nice package. You can look at our website. There's so many packages, beautiful packages there.
Yes.
But still, red is different than blue, and blue is different than white, and et cetera, et cetera. So we need to take all those restrictions in consideration because we want to be pure compostable,
Absolutely. Is there a certain amount of coverage? Like, can I flood coat a certain pink PMS color, or are there certain limitations like that?
There are limitations. It depends on the color.
Depends on the color. Okay. We'll let them talk to you directly to dig in more there. So there's some limitations we need to dive into that. So my final question, then we can sort of see if there's any other topics to cover. So you talk a lot about a granola bar, and I think it's so awesome that you can have a compostable film that also has the shelf life. But let's say, and that sounds good to me, but let's say my specific granola bar, I want to make sure that I'm not going to be moving to TIPA films. And it sounds great, but like, I need proof that it's really going to work, that it's really going to keep it fresh. So do you find most of your customers think that way, where they want to run their own trials? And if so, what testing happens? Or are you able to provide more product data, MSDS, different data that give someone confidence that, okay, when I make this entire switch over to the TIPA films, this is in fact going to work? How do you test that?
Actually, we do both. We provide data and we run shelf life tests. Depends on the brand and what they want to do. But as we go, as we increase our appearance in the market, we have more evidence with every type of product that this granola bar is already in the market in the last 2 years. This one is, but there are differences in the different granola bars. So usually we do both. We provide a data sheet. We provide sample reels. We run tests with a brand. They can run shelf life tests. It's up to them what type and how long they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are more sensitive products, less sensitive products. It really depends. It really depends.
Right.
And usually there's no major need to give up shelf life. So we won't pack food for more than a year. We won't encourage doing it anyway. There are brands who do that, and they can do that, and they can test. Welcome to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, potato chips bag, usually the shelf life is 12 weeks, 13 weeks, 14 weeks. We provide the same. Same with granola bars. Definitely with fresh produce. Actually, with fresh produce, we actually even increase shelf life. But more or less like conventional plastic.
But can you explain it? You say you increase shelf life. You might allow.
Yeah, with fresh produce. Yes, because the permeability in compostable materials is higher, so water vapor will come in and out from the package very easily, and therefore we can actually increase shelf life of the product in days. Wow. From it depends on the product, but yeah.
Every bit matters, I think, especially with fresh produce, right? Every bit matters.
Fresh produce. Yeah.
So it sounds
every day matters.
It sounds like you guys have general information. There's also, as TIPA onboards more customers, there's more case studies. But then maybe there's cases where you want to run your own testing. Maybe that granola bar uses a lot of preservatives and mine uses very little preservatives. So maybe there's a variance why someone would want to run their own test, and you can help facilitate all that for people.
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. All right. So I think that wraps it up. To the people who really care, who are really trying to make the decision, not just checking the box, oh, I use 10% PCR. Look how great I am. To the people who really want to look into this, I think that gives you a lot of information on whether or not compostable films are right for you. Anything else that you'd want to share, Daphne? Any other topics that I missed that you think we can give a few final pieces of advice or common questions you get asked? Anything else you'd like to add in?
I think we covered the main topics nicely.
Beautiful.
You know, I would just encourage everyone to think about it. And we are here to answer questions and provide information. Not just we, there's an industry out there that yes. will be happy to do that. And I think that we have these obligations as human beings, as society, to take care of the damages that we do.
Absolutely. And it's not too late is the other message. There's this sort of narrative that I think is very destructive. It's too late. What's the point? Everything's so horrible. And I just completely disagree with that type of thinking. I say, if it was too late, at least we could slow down the rate of the destruction. And better yet, it's not too late. I'm a firm believer it's not too late. It's only too late if we all give up and pretend there's nothing we can do and just feel depressed and horrible. And I think that's definitely the wrong path. So people like you are showing a path and making it easy for people to make these changes. Are having open dialogues like this, sharing your insights from the last decade, as well as not just about TIPA, but just in general. So it's very much appreciated by me, and I can speak on behalf of our audience here. So thank you very much, Daphna, for joining us. Where can we find TIPA? What's your website? Any places we can find more information?
So it's TIPA.com.
TIPA-corp.com. Everyone head over there, learn more about TIPA and the work they're doing. Daphna, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
The Sustainable Packaging Show podcast is brought to you by Michael Markarian and team. If you want to help us make sustainable packaging the norm, be sure to reach out. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and we will see you on the next episode.